The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo. Today, I'm joined by two very special guests, Payson Johnston, CEO and co-founder of Crowds, and Senior Director of Account Services, Clay Dido. Hi, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks, Keith.
So this week was a very busy news week for technology. One of the biggest things was that hackers grabbed 1.5 million patient records from the Singaporean health system. Now, 1.5 records doesn't sound like much compared to the Equifax 145 million personal records, but this was significant in that the hackers stole 1.5 million patient records, but they were targeting the Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Hsien Loong. And that was really the interesting thing, that people, this is the government, that people were targeting a particular person. Also, you don't hear about this too often. The former CEO of a Bitcoin exchange was actually found guilty of two things. One was securities fraud, and the other one was obstruction of justice. So to give you the story around that, in 2012-2013, there was an exchange called WeExchange and a crypto asset holding called Bitfunder. They had a lot of Bitcoin stolen, 6,000, which back then wasn't much money. Just a few years ago, it was $560,000. In today's Bitcoin value, it's $48 million. And so this person pled guilty, John Montral, and he's looking at up to 20 years for each charge. And I think this goes to show that even though technology is new and a shiny penny, we don't know what experience he had back then, that lying to the government and trying to cover up is going to catch up with you eventually. Other big news is Twitter suspended over 70 million accounts in the last few weeks as a crackdown around false information or fake news. Twitter is really trying to clean up its image as things have come out more and more about this concept of internet trolls, especially with the accusations of foreign governments being behind these troll farms, which I'll talk to in a future episode. So Twitter shut down 70 million accounts, sometimes over a million accounts a day in the last 2 months, and that's because they're trying to stay ahead of this accusation. And that's the news of the week. So for this week's show, I have a return guest, Clay Dido, who was on our show a few months back talking about Crowds, the company's with. And today we're also joined by the co-founder and CEO of Crowds, Payson Johnston. Payson was not on our show a few months back because he was actually in London for the Techstars Barclays Accelerator Program. So welcome back.
Thanks.
So just to recap, the show we had with Clay was called Using Blockchain to Reduce EDI and ACH Costs Up to 85%. Now, you might not think that's very interesting. EDI stands for Electronic Data Interchange, and ACH stands for Automated Clearinghouse for you bank nerds like me. But actually, it was one of the most downloaded shows, and we're listened to in over 63 countries. And I think the reason why it was so interesting is that bank fees are something that everyone can relate to, and it costs, in some cases, which we'll get to throughout the show, it costs some businesses a lot of money just because of the nature of the business they're in. So, Clay, since you were here last time, what are some of the things that have happened since then?
Yeah, we've had some real exciting things happen. Payson was in the part of the Barclays Accelerators. You heard in there were some great partnerships that he made over there that are allowing us to kind of move toward more of a, I guess you say, a regulated model of being able to come in and actually help small, medium businesses. And actually with the powerhouse of Barclays and other investments and hedge funds, we're able to pull that money together. So we have a huge leverage when it comes to being able to help these small, medium businesses with being able to alleviate that cash flow burden that they have.
Yeah, and just to let people know, the Barclays TechStars program is very prestigious. There's over 500 applicants, and they only take on 10 companies for this program per year. So it was just really cool to hear that Crowds was one of them for this past program. So Payson, welcome again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I think one of the really nice things in doing a follow-up a few months later is that where we were talking about EDI and ACH reduction in fees, which are always very important, we actually started also talking about where your investors are kind of positioning you next, which is trade finance. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Yeah, so trade finance, otherwise known as some other things, supply chain finance, invoice buying, or factoring, is the ability for a small, medium company or a large company to sell an invoice. And usually companies get invoices and a buyer says, hey, I'll pay you in net 60 days or net 90 days. And a seller can take that invoice, sell it back to a bank or a funder, and get the money immediately at a discounted rate and not have to wait that 90 days. And so that's trade finance.
And how is that at scale? Why would a company want to do that?
Yeah, a lot of companies, you know, if they're especially manufacturing companies, even service companies, have to buy a lot of raw materials and goods. And if they come in and they buy something, let's say they're making a phone or they're making a chair, and they put out, buy all the material, and the buyer that they're selling the chair to says, I'll pay you in 120 days, net 120. Well, they don't get their money, but they have to buy all the material. And so what trade finance or invoice financing allows is for them to get the money up front and really cover the cost of the raw material instead of fronting it all themselves, even though it's a discounted rate. So it's slightly smaller than what they would get at the end of 120. They get the cash immediately. So it really improves their cash flow.
Before Crowds and blockchain, what were their options to get trade finance?
Yeah. So if you're a big company, you can go to a bank, and it's a very manual process, a lot of paperwork. There's a projection that there's about 100, several hundred documents that are needed just to do trade finance with a bank. But otherwise, you would go to a factoring company. A lot of factoring companies can charge upwards of 35% APR or more to sell back the invoice. And so what Crowds is really doing is creating a market-efficient way to sell back invoices at a better rate than what would happen in these factoring companies, and an automated and digital way to do it.
Yeah, that's great. I know further down on the show, we'll talk about some of those use cases. We'll talk about how companies get engaged, and that will be, I think, really helpful for a lot of people who don't know what's possible. But before we do that, I wanted to also talk a little bit about, is this a U.S.-based solution, or is it global?
It's global. U.S., definitely. U.K., China, Korea. I mean, wherever the businesses are. And one of the problems with the supply chain, and we found this out by working in it for years, is that as soon as one item changes hands or is manufactured or anything, basically what happens is it moves countries. So the raw material may come from one country. The final assembly might go to another country. Distribution might be in other countries. So it's a U.S.-based thing, but also a global thing as well.
And for what that description is, do you think it disrupts other industries as well?
It helps improve the cash flow and make the supply chain more efficient overall, and actually it starts to eliminate some of the risk in the supply chain as well. So that's how it disrupts, really moving the cash, moving it from things taking months to really getting into minutes and milliseconds of money movement and document movement, so the product can get to the right place at the right time.
Well, thanks. So once again, Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo, joined by Payson Johnson, co-founder and CEO of Crowds, and also Clay Dito, Senior Director of Account Services. Don't go away. We'll be right back. For any questions or comments, email us at info@svn.biz.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
So today I'm joined by Payson Johnston, CEO and co-founder of Crowds.io, and Senior Director of Account Services, Clay Dido. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thanks, Rob.
This week's question is a continuation on a topic I started off last week, so it's a series on the analogy between confirmation bias in humans and system bias in machines or programs. So this week, we're talking about bias through interaction. So where some systems learn by examples and are looking at pattern analysis, so things like health records or ways you are feeding lots of information in. There's another concept in this bias through interaction about how systems learn in interacting over time. And a great example of this was a very short-lived Microsoft program called Tay. Tay was a Twitter-based chatbot, and it learned from interactions with its users. Unfortunately, it was very quickly caught on by a community of racists who taught the chatbot to both be racist and misogynistic. And Microsoft had to pull Tay very quickly because in less than 24 hours, it became a racist, misogynistic chatbot. So, you know, one we want to think about is the more that humans are trying to interact with systems and use systems to be automated, the more comes up on the need to be ethical and to be very aware that systems can have biases as well. So in future applications, these behavioral scientists and analysts are really going to be focusing on having, in essence, indefeatable or undefeatable chatbots or programs that really can't have these kind of things happen when they're interacting and these unpredictable events. So think about the implications if you're applying for a job, applying for a loan, trying to get a credit card or trying to get a car, that if the program that's being trained to be interacted on doesn't really have an unbiased opinion of you, there can be some really bad results. So I'm very pleased to have back on my show Crowds.io. They are a Silk Road for global commerce, kind of a next generation platform. I had Clay on a few months ago to talk about Crowds while Payson was at the Barclays Techstars incubator for 4 months. So it's just really great to have you guys back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So Payson, since this is your first time, why don't we go a little bit into what Crowds is?
Great. Thanks. So basically, Crowds really is the Silk Road for global commerce. And the reason why we created this is we really saw two problems in the overall global supply chain. One of those problems is there's a large amount of small, medium enterprises in the chain, and they have trouble accessing working capital, really improving their cash flow. And the second thing is in the chain, there's a large amount of the companies, 70 to 90%, that actually have not digitized the supply chain yet. And so what Crowds is focused on doing is really digitizing the supply chain and allowing working capital to get down into the chain to help improve small, medium enterprises and companies overall. And yeah, that's Crowds.
Yeah. And why that's a great foundational aspect of Crowds. Well, real question is, why has it not happened up until today? What have been the barriers of solving for this type of problem?
Definitely. You know, I came out of a background of supply chain, and Cisco was one of the supply chains. And I actually, with my CTO, we actually digitized the raw materials and went up through the distribution channels. But there were problems. And this was pre-cloud and pre-blockchain. And so the technology wasn't really there, where a lot of companies have really focused on implementing digitization inside the company vertically up and down. But as soon as data is passed between one company and another, and this could be a small company, a big company, it's very, very manual. Lots of paper, lots of fax machines, emails, scanned PDFs, old EDI and Swift technology. And that's one of the reasons why no one's really gone after this. And then you take a subject like trade finance and supply chain finance, which is really selling an invoice at a discount so companies can get money faster, especially a lot of companies have net 60, net 90 terms. Well, a lot of that, even with the banks and the big players, very, very manual. And so that's why this hasn't been done yet today. But the technology is now in place to make this happen.
Yeah. And the technology that your engine is blockchain, right?
Yeah, blockchain. And of course, we use cloud too, but blockchain and specifically the Ethereum blockchain.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting because even though you and I were both at Cisco for many years at the same time, I was more on the what we call the indirect side. So things that help the company run, things that are IT related, Oracle, Microsoft, IBM, and then you are actually on what we call the direct side. So you're actually supporting the products that a Cisco is manufacturing, which just to make sure that people understand, it's, you know, high frequency, high commodity transactions where the supplier is the one that's most at risk because they're beholden to a company like a Cisco. Where at Cisco, I'm a customer. I'm right. buying from Microsoft. I'm buying from HP. But you are consuming all of these components to make these products. And I think people need to realize that, as Clay was mentioning in a show we did several months ago, those suppliers are the most at risk for having to get paid on time, having to make sure that they're, in some cases, we call it a single source or single supplier, like you're like their main customer.
Right.
That's where this becomes important.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the examples I use, because electronic supply chains, unless you've been in them, they're complex. They're like auto supply chains. There's thousands of parts going into single items that are being built and lots of different companies. But take an example of a chair. And in London, when I was there, I used this chair example. And basically, a simple plastic chair, it was being shipped into the Barclays Rise facility. And basically, that simple plastic chair was made by a Swiss designer. It was manufactured in Germany. The chemicals actually came from mainland China, and the raw materials from throughout Asia. And that simple plastic chair actually takes about 300 documents across 20 different companies to be exchanged in order to actually get it from its raw material state to its final assembly state. And our solution helps deploy cash down into that where companies are, you know, along the chain, but also it helps it digitize it as well. And so you speed it up from months and months of paperwork to really minutes and milliseconds, and blockchain allows that to happen a lot more efficiently.
Right. And that's where I think what you just said when you were at London, I happened to be there. Thank you for the invitation, because I got to see the top 10 companies at the Barclays Techstars Accelerators. So at this event with Barclays and Techstars, there was the top 10 companies in fintech, which Crowds was one of. And what I really enjoyed about being at that event was the camaraderie, but also the potential for the concept of partnerships with these companies that are not blockchain related and what you're doing with Crowds. So we'll get more into that at further into the show, but I just thought that was a really cool feature. So you're listening to Keith Koo on Silicon Valley Insider, joined today by two guests from Crowds, Payson Johnston, the CEO and co-founder, and Clay Dedu, the Senior Director of Account Services. And we're talking about their journey. Just a quick reminder, I will be keynoting next week at the Hartford, Connecticut Upwork CISO conference. We'll be talking about cybersecurity and blockchain with a number of startups and also companies like Aetna, Cigna, and the Hartford. Also, there is the IBM Call for Code, which has been going on now until August 31st, offering companies up to $30 million in prize money over 5 years. If you need more information on that, email us at info@svin.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, insiders. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. Joined today by two special guests from Crowds.io, Payson Johnston, CEO and co-founder, and Clay Dedo, Senior Director of Account Services. Hi again.
Hi. Hi.
So today's cyber tip of the week is something very close and dear to my heart. We've been talking about it on this show frequently, which is this concept of third-party risk. And how this happened is Ticketmaster, which has locations, although it's digital, there's in essence locations around the world, some of the international locations had gotten hacked. And how they did it was through the chatbot in these different languages and these different locations around the world, the chatbot was infected. Now, the chatbot was provided by a vendor or a third party. And that's how they stole a lot of personal information, a lot of credentials. And it's interesting because people don't often think about even their ticket provider as in essence being a vendor, and their vendors being what we call in third-party land as fourth-party risks. And sometimes if you're a services company, they'd be a subcontractor. So this is very appealing to malicious actors because they now have access to, instead of one customer to hack, they have tens of thousands of people that they can attack at once and get all that information. And so this is really important if you're a company to understand your entire supply chain. And today in the studio, we have Krauz.io, which is in essence a supply chain platform on blockchain. I'm going to bring this up and transition into, there's a company called Aravo that is third-party risk management software. And I did an interview with them several months ago talking about just the importance of third-party risk in general. And also the interview then led to cyber risk and blockchain. And there was something that we talked about where blockchain in some circles is not considered ready for prime time. But if and when it is, this would be a really good use case to supply to secure the supply chain as a whole. So I wanted to turn this over to you, Payson, and what you think about that.
Yeah, I get this question a lot from VCs, from corporates, from banks, whether blockchain is ready for prime time. And one of the things the blockchain does differently than any other technology that's come along in the last 20 years is that under the smart contract concept of a blockchain, it allows for three things to come together. One is doc management, purchase order, invoices, et cetera, which typically was done on third-party companies, SAP, Ariba, and others. Then you have the business process done in the cloud, et cetera, and you have the money movement, which has been done in the past, ACH, SWIFT, other methods. And what blockchain does with smart contracts for the first time is to bring these three things together. And it allows for that to happen really for the first time ever. And so we actually at Krauz have an application that is really coming in and fixing specific problems in supply chain and trade finance. And so we believe it is now ready for prime time from that standpoint. But up until that point, there's been a lot of apps out there trying to do stuff, dabbling with stuff, more of tech focused. And yet we're going after really a key problem in the supply chain to solve, to bring those three together, which for the first time has never happened.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's funny because I've been talking a lot about Krauz recently. And when I do talks, whether it's a forum or whether it's a speech or a keynote, I talk about how supply chain is a perfect example for blockchain right now. Right. We talk about iterations. We talk about how Bitcoin's a generation one blockchain. Ethereum with smart contracts is quote unquote a generation two. Mm-hmm. We're now moving to generation three, which is governance, and eventually generation four, which is identity and reputation. But for now, when we think about the actors, the parties involved, and really at the core of trying to do business or validation of transactions with each other, supply chain is it. And that's where I was talking to one of the number one tokenomics guys in the world about crowds. And it's funny because he's actually often about, this idea is terrible, this idea is not going to work. But when I mentioned the crowds use case, he was like, no, that makes a lot of sense. So, hats off to you guys. Clay, what are some of the thoughts you have around where Krauz is going to go next?
Yeah, so I see us as being first and foremost kind of the rescuer for the small, medium businesses, because you have all these small, medium businesses with these cash flow issues. I see us alleviating that, allowing these not just the large corporate supply chains, but these small, what I call Main Street supply chains, to actually be able to thrive in terms of being able to serve their communities better, being stronger. Average lifespan of a small, medium business is 3 to 5 years. We believe that our solution would be able to allow that to be extended. Obviously, as Small, medium businesses have the operational cash flow that they need to. And I really see this being a transformation of business.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think when we talk about the small, medium businesses, and Margaret Jackson, who does a radio show, Business on the Edge, she came out with a magazine this year that I wrote the first article on blockchain for her. We had talked about this exact point that small businesses need to adopt blockchain, but they don't even know how to get started, right? And I think, one, they can ask or call in for help. But two, this important part is during the last recession, I know of a very large very large chip manufacturer who paid their Chinese suppliers in cash, billions of dollars, where everybody else was on credit. And that was purely to keep their suppliers floating because maybe their other customers weren't going to pay them. So when we talk about what you are offering on this platform, is that a risk management, the ability to hedge against those types of situations in case we get into a recession again?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, I was at Cisco at the time and saw firsthand what happened in 2008 with the financial crisis, and lots of small, medium enterprises went out of business, right? And one of the things with our solution is we have the deploying capital, but we're also collecting the data on what happens and being able to project what happens in the future and where risks are developing in the supply chain, which tend to happen 6 to 9 months ahead of what happens upstream in the final assembly, is something we're also very good at. And that's really our focus area overall with crowds.
Yeah, and I like that point too, because people are thinking right now, because blockchain's a buzzword, that it's kind of almost in a silo, but they're not understanding that blockchain in itself doesn't mean much. It's the ability to integrate with these other concepts. So you're now talking about analytics and big data and the ability to use information that's coming off of a distributed database, distributed ledger, in order to do this prediction analysis that will help many other organizations predict. There's another company or companies that are looking at trade finance a little bit differently in securing the supply chain and being able to see the end-to-end on every aspect of, let's say, a bottle of wine leaving the winery to the actual destination and seeing everything that happens. You now have the ability to potentially even ensure the shipment on each step of the way. So instead of insuring the shipment from end to end, potentially insuring a shipment from destination to destination along the supply chain. Mm-hmm. So in the first segment, we kind of gave the background of the first show we did with you several months ago with Clay. And we talked about, you know, managing electronic data interchange, EDI, or automated clearinghouse payments and fees. And then in the last segment, we had kind of talked about how we transitioned into this trade finance concept, and we also talked about your presentation in London, Payson, and it was a really good presentation. You can actually YouTube it, Payson Johnston at Techstars in London, and you went through this whole Silk Road concept of really being able to replicate what we used to do in Silk Road for now for global commerce. Why don't you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, the idea around the Silk Road is it's relating to, there's a project underway. It's being kind of initiated out of China, but called One Belt, One Road. And the Chinese government's put $1 trillion up, but it's way beyond China. And what they're doing is interconnecting supply chains across 77 different countries. And it's really about moving product from east to west, where a lot of the product now originates in the east and is consumed in the west, whether that be Europe or the United States. And so what we realized and what we were focused on is they're building huge amounts of infrastructure, but there's not really a digital connection. And then the movement of cash flow too up and down the chain is really stilted. Lots and lots of paper up and down that chain and old EDI technology, fax machines, emails floating around. And that's really what Crowds is focused on working on.
So then to that point, where does Crowds fit in? How do you get part of that and connect it to the digital Silk Road?
Yeah, so we're connecting we're connecting to the banks, we're connecting to partners in Asia. And basically what we're helping to do is to deploy capital up and down partners who are in that supply chain overall. They might be a small, medium enterprise. They might be a company receiving goods from China. Well, being able to help finance their supply chain and help move the capital in that supply chain and then add visibility as they source that supply chain. That's how Crowds helps in that.
So then how do they actually get engaged with Crowds?
Oh, so basically you can find Crowds spelled C-R-O-W-D-Z, and then crowds.io is our website. And you can contact us there and definitely find out more information. We can help get you up to speed.
Okay. And then do you have in-country representatives?
So we're in U.S. for sure. We're in the U.K. We're in Korea, China, and India right now.
And just with the last couple of minutes for this segment, why don't we talk about POSCO, which was the third largest steel manufacturer in the world?
Yeah, so POSCO basically has done a POC with Crowds, a proof of concept, and was really one of the forefronts of pushing the blockchain. And they're more industrial player going, whoa, this blockchain can really improve a really traditional organization to push across invoices and certificate of origins and bill of ladings, all the documents needed for trade finance. And so POSCO and other industrial players in China, also in the UK and the US, have been utilizing our system really to improve that trade finance. And our ultimate goal and our higher purpose of this is really not only to help the big players, but also have the small players be able to access cash and others that, you know, and be able to operate like a big player can.
Well, thanks, Payson. I want to dive into that in our final segment. So don't go away. You're listening to Heath Koo, Silicon Valley Insider, with special guests Payson Johnston, co-founder and CEO of Crowds, and Clay Dido, Senior Director of Account Services. And if you have any questions or comments, email us at info@svin.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. Today, I'm joined by two very special guests from Crowds.io, Payson Johnston, co-founder and CEO, and Clay Dido, Senior Director of Account Services. In our first couple of segments, we talked a lot about where Crowds are really enabling all forms of business, small, medium, and large, on how to use blockchain to manage supply chain and how they are now working on trade finance. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So in our last segment, Clay, we had talked about if anybody had any questions on how to engage with Crowds, to go to the website, which is crowds.io, Crowds with a Z, C-R-O-W-D-Z.io. But once they do that, what are the next steps? What happens?
Yeah, so there's some great tips on the website as well, some great information. We also have a live chat available on the website as well. So if you have any questions after you've read and understood what we do, we're more than happy, myself or some of my team members are happy to assist you there in the live chat to be able to understand what your needs are and be able to help you. So it's pretty much a full service site.
Okay. And then once somebody gets engaged, you get all the requirements, what's typical and how fast it can actually be up on the Crowds platform?
Yeah. So the onboarding feature minutes in terms of just being able to sign up and register, and then depending on what custom applications they need, we have a quick and responsive development team and that can really do quick turnaround on most of the customization pieces.
Okay. That's great. You know, we talked about where Payson, you do presentations about Crowds, you talk about where it's a marketplace and how analogous to the Silk Road for global commerce. What are some of the reasons that that's important? We talked a lot about paper. Mm-hmm. Like in some cases, the chair you're sitting on might have 300 documents and 20 different intermediaries. What is the reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, you have legacy systems that, I mean, a lot of these systems have been put in place pre-computer days, right? And a lot of the paperwork was pre-computer days. And until technology like blockchain has come around, you know, technology never really tackled some of these outstanding paperwork. They always focused on the credit card and the consumer purchase, but this B2B area, which in some areas I've read from between 15 to 20 trillion, roughly, in commerce that goes across the world in this and more in some areas. And basically, paperwork was just never changed. And so you have all these computer systems and they automate a piece of it, but then paperwork needs to be exchanged for a bunch of it. And so we at Crowds are really looking at the whole process of the supply chain, really improving that and eliminating the paperwork in that so it can all go digitally. And then cash can flow a lot easier as well.
Have you found any barriers or detractors in what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, there are some older technologies, the EDI technology, so the SWIFT technology. They were created in the 1960s and 1970s, and those are kind of the prevalent techs that are in place in businesses. And then there's people really kind of feeling comfortable about paper,
right,
as well. But it's okay if it's a local deal in a lot of cases, but as it's going internationally, I sent a document to China the other day, and I think it cost me almost $60 just to send a piece of paper signed to China. And you look at that, and it took maybe 4 days to get there because I didn't send it overnight. And so you look at that and you go, whoa, that's slowing down all of global business.
Right.
You start to digitize all that paperwork and the money movement, and all of a sudden things speed up.
So the analogy I'll have is I was offered a job in the late 90s. I ultimately went to go to Cisco, but this is a very large, well-known company as well. There was a concept called open financial effects, and this could have replaced checks in the mid-90s already. It was a consortium with Microsoft and a lot of large banks. And the reason why it didn't take off at that point in time, although you know now we have PayPal and we have digital payment solutions, is literally the cost of there's a whole industry around check processing. And that industry wanted to hold on for dear life. So that's kind of the reason I was asking is it's kind of a loaded question. Is I would expect that from what Crowds is trying to accomplish and the efficiencies gained, there will be older companies trying to defend their position. But I think one key aspect of this is in blockchain, even if you try to defend it, like how it took so much longer to actually get to digital checks, which we have the option today, I think that the friction is gone. It's actually becoming a frictionless economy.
Right. Right. And removing the paper on both the document side and the money movement side starts to eliminate the friction. And that's ultimately what most businesses want, right? And that's we've heard that from large and small. And in the big banks, I spent time talking to most of the major banks in London, and they're all talking about pacing. If you can eliminate the friction of this paperwork, it really just speeds it all up and people will embrace it.
Right. And as a former technology employee and as a former banker, I would tell you that I think if you use back to that check example, this is reducing paper on steroids. And I think that as banks thought they were kind of late to the game in that late 90s, early 2000s cycle, they're rapidly adopting, especially if they're forward thinking. Because one of the things about fintech versus banks is that fintech has taken off because they don't have the same challenges around paper, around even regulations. So it looks like we're out of time. Payson and Clay, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having us.
I'm really excited and look forward to hearing more about what Crowds is doing to disrupt this traditional notion of paper, and look forward to more hearing about the Silk Road for global commerce. You're listening to Keith Kuhn, Silicon Valley Insider, joined by Crowds.io. For more information, email us at info@svin.biz, and we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Kuhn. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.